Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Alderman David Morris spent a couple of days outdoors in a tent, I believe on 73rd Place between Ada Street and Racine Avenue. That's in Englewood. Alderman, welcome to WGN.
Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I think you've been on every media outlet possible. You made national news when you did this. Let's back up for those who don't know. Why did you do this? Why did you decide just because you wanted fresh air? It must have been more than that.
A lot more than that. But it's been this open-air drug market on this block for many years. I'm sure it predates me, but I've basically been dealing with it for the past 5 or 6 years and working with law enforcement at every level to get rid of this. It's not so much the drugs that I was so much concerned about, as we all should be, but it was the fact that anybody, I don't care if you're selling drugs, toast, tampons, or anything, you cannot take over a city street. You understand what I'm saying? And just can't take over a street where people cannot come and, you know, drive down their block, park, where kids can't come out and safely play, or elders come out and water their grass. And so I've been dealing with this for the past 5 years, working, like I said, with law enforcement. And to me, even if there's Fed investigations going on, nothing should take 5 years. If it takes 5 years, either your informant has flipped or y'all don't know what you're doing. And so after the 18-year-old got killed that Sunday, I can't remember the date, it was about 3 weeks ago on a Sunday, and I got calls from neighbors just like, they are fed up, they're tired, what am I doing? And I'm like, I'm doing everything I can possibly do as alderman. And they like, well, we don't feel like you're doing enough. And, you know, as always, you've dealt with me before, I go into prayer and the Holy Spirit. I always tell people I don't move unless the Holy Spirit moves me. And they're saying, you know, you got to do something. Go out there and sleep in a tent. I'm like, not me, not me. And it was just like it just kept pulling at me. And that's what I did. And I not thought it would get national attention, but I just wanted to bring attention to law enforcement, to not only the city, but also the county and the state. This is a county street. This is the governor come and get these people votes, and the county board president, everybody come and get these people votes. But the people with the power and the resources to do it only have limited power as an alderman. But I can tell you one thing, if I was mayor, if I was county board president, if I was the sheriff, whatever leadership role that I have with the resources, no one would be able to take over a city street. And so that's why I ended up doing it. And what gave it the highlight, I mean, there were some threats made to me, but I wasn't worried about that. But that night, I think it was on a Friday night, a Saturday night, and some shooting rang out, and I thought they were shooting at us, but I just ducked when the shooting started. But they were shooting at the guys who we had moved off of that block, and they went around a corner. And what happened was there were other guys on another block who were more undercover, you know what I'm saying, and their drug sales, who felt like they were bringing the police heat over to them, and they started shooting at them, and unfortunately a young man or older gentleman got shot in the face around there. So I think that's what took it national and brought the attention to it, that, hey, even if elected officials out there, they still got, you know, high-powered guns, and they'll shoot anywhere, anytime. Just like in this case where the gentleman on the former bomb officer on the west side got killed. Yeah. And all this stuff you got to bring to light, and people have to do more, because people have a right. They pay taxes, you know, and they shouldn't have to live like that.
Of course not. And people are absolutely fed up. And while the situation is clearly more dramatic, for lack of a better word, or just simply worse, more gunshots are heard in some parts of the city, no question about it. But now it's happening all over the city, Alderman. So you have an entire city that is just fed up with this. All right, so you were out there, I think, a couple of days.
And no, then, it was actually a week.
Was it? All right. And yes. Then you came you didn't anymore at some point. Some reports...
Last Friday, we turned it, not this past Friday, but Friday before last,
right.
We turned it back. It was just time, and it was the appropriate time. CPD, the sheriff's department, everybody decided to do a roll call that Friday. Many people came out, which was great, but I thought it was the appropriate time. The block was clean, not only clean, we got houses torn down that would usually take about 6 months to a year to do. We got houses torn down. We got potholes filled. We got trees cut, which, you know, brighter lights, all everything. So I left a clean and clear block. When I say clean in terms of city services, clear in terms of the drug activity and them taking over the street, all of that was gone. So I turned all of that back over to law enforcement. I turned it back over to the residents. I turned it back over to the leadership in this city and to the county and at the state. And I'm hoping they keep it that way. And if they don't, it's not on me anymore. I've done all that I can do.
Talking with Alderman David Moore, 17th Ward. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can text, you can call. So, Alderman, you did interview after interview after interview when you were out in your tent. And a lot of the TV interviewers were out there with their microphones that were standing there, and they were asking you question after question. But I have a question. I don't believe you were asked at all on live TV or on radio. Are you ready for that question?
I'm ready for almost any question.
All right. So when you were out there for 5 days, I think you just said it was. So when you were out there, you are, after all, human. Where did you go to the bathroom?
So my office wasn't too far away. And like I told people, I wasn't out there like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not when I say 24 hours a day. It was just became my new home. I still worked. I still went down to City Hall. I still had meetings to go to. You know what I'm saying? But other people joined me as well. And I just slept out there, but, you know, or either came back like through the day and stuff like that. So my office is not too far away. So I went to the bathroom to my office, then would come back.
Yeah, I'm a hard-hitting journalist. I needed to know the answer to that. All right, so more seriously, ShotSpotter. I want to talk to you about that. You have said, and I've heard this with my own ears, versions of the following, that you've suggested it's a race issue and along racial lines, but when you look at the aldermen who want and don't want ShotSpotter, that's not the case. And our mayor, last time I looked, African American, is most opposed to ShotSpotter. So I don't quite understand that argument.
Wait, who said it was about racial lines?
Well, you have on television. I've heard it myself, suggesting that there, it's
about ShotSpotter.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So
you know, you have to find me that quote, because I want to always be honest and talk about what I say. So you have to let me know what that quote, because
I will.
ShotSpotter has always been a both black and white and some Latinos even,
sure,
that want it. So it's been across the board. It's not. I mean, it's been support across the board from day one. And that's from me talking to, whether I'm talking to black officers or white officers or, lieutenants or commanders or whatever. So you please got to find me that quote, because I always felt that, you know, across the board, everybody wanted ShotSpotter. And that's why I pushed for it, because it's the right thing to have. Even and I'm sorry, I'm not remembering his name, and I should have remembered his name. The officer, the former police officer that was killed on the west side.
Yes.
It was ShotSpotter that alerted.
Yes,
you know,
it was.
People to him out, and unfortunately he couldn't get saved. But how many times have ShotSpotter saved someone? The other thing is when people say it don't help with crime, let me tell you, this data cannot capture when ShotSpotter goes off and alert police, and then they put police officers in those sections because they feel something based on their investigations, something is going wrong, and that it prevents retaliation. That stuff don't get captured. So you could have actually more shootings without it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. So is the...
And so that data is not captured. And it'd only be captured once ShotSpotter is gone, and then you begin to see even a more increase in shootings.
So is the mayor truly hearing what people and most of the aldermen truly want in their communities, or is he just falling back on what he promised in the first place and what he thinks philosophically in his own view he wants, rather than truly hearing others, including experts?
And this is a more of an administration thing from this fifth floor, is that was one of his campaign promises. We talked about that, and it just cannot be a campaign promise. I understand campaign promise, but you have to do what's right, what's right in front of you, and what's real, what's going to help and save lives. Also, it's not just ShotSpotter. You have to have an attitude where you take these handcuffs off the police department. If our police feel, and trust me, you're dealing with a young black man who grew up in poverty, who welfare mother, Section 8, the whole nine, from Robert Taylor to Inglewood, I am the most compassionate when it comes to this. I didn't want to be thrown in jail. If I did something stupid, I don't want nobody else thrown in jail. But there's got to be accountability. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's got to be accountability. And you cannot keep saying, there are many out here, when you talk about, we need jobs. Don't you know how many since I've been in office, whether they were selling drugs or doing whatever, I've gone up to never call the police, to go talk to them first and say, come to me, come to my office, give me a call on Monday, whatever. If you want a job, I will help you. If you want to get it, this is what I do, man. This is just what I do. I ain't changing.
So when you talk,
how can you stop that? And then especially when we're losing generations of people who don't even have a chance at life. And so you have to lock down, and I mean literally lock it down, on those ones who don't want to change. And that has to be a concerted effort that's coming from this administration to let CPD know that, so that they're not falling back.
So even if CPD had those handcuffs taken off, based on what you just said, actually, does it also come down to what I said earlier, T.O. Hardiman said, and that is the problem that young people committing crime often feel they will not be held responsible? Does it also fall back to the Cook County State's Attorney, who is not prosecuting unless maybe someone throws a Slurpee in her face or whatever that was?
Yeah, but no, there's some debate there, but she is prosecuting, and she's prosecuted probably even more. But here's the other part in terms of sentencing and everything. That becomes on our judicial system. We cannot let our judicial system slide. They've been a little lenient. They got some powers to say, young man, you've been in here twice. You've been in here three times. You're going to have to serve a longer sentence or whatever has to happen. But here's the thing. Once they get there, and I advocate for this, people just cannot sit behind bars. All this money that we spend on stopping crime, we could be spending on training and things in there while they're there. Because if you're not rehabilitating, if you're not giving people a option for when they get out, then it's just a repetitive, because you're not going to lock them up for life unless it's a murder, right? But if someone's carjacked someone, hey, I'm going to give you some years, but while you're in there for some years, because that year's going to deter that next person from carjacking, like, man, I'm getting 5 years for carjacking? Yep. And that's going to be a deterrence. But if in that 5 years, you got to be doing something productive instead of just sitting there playing cards or doing nothing in that system. And that has to happen. If not, they come back out and they're just as angry or doing something, and then doing something just as worse as carjacking.
Absolutely. And what I would believe, I mean, what you just said, almost common sense, right? So why don't all 50 aldermen agree with what you just said? And why doesn't the mayor agree with what you just said? You cannot speak for your 49 colleagues. You cannot speak for the mayor.
I'm going to tell you why, because there's profit in poverty. And the profit in poverty, and this is the honest to God truth, I've lived this stuff. I've seen this stuff. You got a lot of rich white progressives out there who are making money because we're giving them money. Oh, keep doing this program, doing that program. It's always giving somebody something, giving them people, these minority communities, a fish, but not teaching them how to fish so they can be self-sufficient. There is, when you talk about not-for-profit organizations, you got not-for-profit people, executive directors making $200,000 to $300,000 a year on government money, man. This stuff, nobody wants to be honest about this thing.
And I have to be. All right, but I need to. This is what I meant earlier by race falling into all this, and I sincerely don't understand. So can you try to explain? Because many of the people on the other side of the argument you just gave are African American themselves or Latino. So I just don't understand. I mean, it's a mix of everything, and everybody wants things to be better. So explain what you just said, because I don't quite.
It is a mix of everything. When you see a lot of not-for-profit organizations, and what's going on is that even the ACLU, all these things, they're always talking about taking off. Don't do this. You. A person has the right to loiter in front of all this crazy stuff. And when you look at the top of who's running these organizations, it's usually white, some wealthy or some white progressive that's benefiting from it. And I'm not saying it's just white, don't get me wrong, but predominantly, this is about capitalism, man.
All right.
And that's just profit and poverty. The more you keep people down, so giving this young man a break, we'll put him through this program. We'll give him this training. Somebody training to train is making money to train to just put somebody back out there to kill. And all those programs are not capturing the people you think they should be capturing.
Okay, I don't exactly understand, but I guess if it all did work, we wouldn't be talking about this topic right now. But meanwhile, where is ShotSpotter? Where do you see it going? The mayor is saying, okay, after the convention, it's going away.
So here it is. This is what we have in our powers to do as aldermen. And so we are... The order states that they have to give us data. After they give us that data, which was ordered and passed, then based on that data that we see, the alderman can then, from our legislative standpoint, saying that, hey, we want to contract ShotSpotter. That's what we have. We have the legislative duty to say that and to keep ShotSpotter. Then we have the legislative authority to budget, to fund it through the budget. What we don't have the power to do, since both of those things happen, the mayor can tell his procurement officer, don't procure it.
And
so we have the ability to keep it, to budget it, but you will have to procure it, and that's the